Today, we want to take a few minutes out and take a look at God's promises of protection and provision. I love this little Wednesday night series that we're doing, thinking about, meditating on, learning about the promises of God. I know of no richer way to really build up our faith and to advance our walk with Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at some of these promises of protection and provision. And I want to begin by taking a look at the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. There we read this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Now, after Abram boldly attacked a confederation of five kings, and he won that bold attack, he rescued his nephew Lot, and not only defeated the kings, but took away all their spoil from the battles that those kings had fought. And after Abram did not take any of the spoil of that battle for himself, but instead he rather generously gave a tenth of all that he had to Melchizedek, the priest of Jerusalem. After those two things, Abram needed a shield and he needed a reward. He needed protection, that's a shield. He needed provision, that's a reward. God made him this remarkable promise. Let me read it to you again, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." So again, we just get the picture here of Genesis 15:1. God is promising Abram to be his protection, that is a shield, and his reward, that is a provision. Now, I want you to notice, God did not say that he would give Abram a shield and a reward. That would be awesome, but that's not what God said. God said that he would be his shield and his exceedingly great reward. Let me read that to you again. He said to Abram, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." What could be greater than that? Not just to have God supply your protection, but for God to be your protection. Not just to supply your need, but for God himself to say, "I will be your supply." Now, when I think of these amazing promises that God made to Abram in Genesis chapter 15:1, it brings me to an important question. Those were promises that God made to Abraham, but can we claim them? Listen, sometimes it's a problem that we go into the Bible and start claiming promises that don't belong to us. They belong to somebody else. And we have to admit that strictly speaking, God did not make that promise specifically to us, believers who live some 4,000 years or so after the time of Abraham, but he made those promises to Abraham himself. Therefore, can we claim them at all? Well, not on the basis of Genesis 15:1 alone. If Genesis 15:1 was the first and the last place where God ever spoke about being a protection and a provision for his people, then we could say, no, that's just for Abraham. It's not for us. However, and this is a blessed however, because God takes those promises and speaks them to all believers in many places throughout the scriptures, we can say that God, when he made that promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, "I will be your shield. I will be your exceedingly great reward." We see that those were promises, in a sense, to all believers. Here's the promises for protection. Psalm 3, verse 3 says this, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head." You see, the psalmist knew that God could be a shield for him. Or Psalm 18, verse 30 says, "He is a shield to all who trust in him." If you trust in the Lord, God says that I will be your shield. That's his promise of protection. Now, how about other places where promises of provision are made for us? Well, in Psalm 58, verse 11, it says, "Surely there is a reward for the righteous." Oh, dear friend, if you are righteous in Jesus Christ, God promises there's a reward for you. Or, as it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You see, those are promises of reward, promises of provision given to you and to me. It wasn't just for Abraham. Dear believing brother or sister, you can take rest and trust in God's beautiful promises of protection and provision. Those weren't just for Abraham, but God says to you as well, "I will be your shield. I will be your exceedingly great reward." Now, God's promise of protection does not mean that we will never face any kind of harm. Look, let's face it. Some of the most faithful believers of all time, faithful believers in the Bible, in the pages of the Bible, and faithful believers throughout history, some of the most faithful believers of all time have paid the ultimate price, suffering and laying down their lives. Yet, even in all that, no one could destroy their soul. It only brought them to God quicker. It only brought them to heaven quicker. Our lives are hidden in Jesus Christ. We have that beautiful ultimate promise of protection and provision. Listen, let's remember this about God's promise of provision. It does not extend to what we might say are all of our wants. I don't know about you, but my list of wants can extend pretty big. There's a lot of things, sort of material speaking, that I want. But listen, God hasn't provided all my wants, but all my needs. Can I remind you once again of that verse I read before, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, where again, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You know, sometimes we need a needs perspective adjustment. What we perceive to be our needs gets out of whack. And sometimes God has to sort of make an adjustment to that, where we come to see that some of the things that we thought we absolutely needed, we learn that in Jesus Christ, we don't need. And we have the provision we need in him. So friends, it remains. Be restful, be confident in this. God promises to be our protector and our provider. He promises me and he promises you. Just like it says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, the promise God made to Abram, but as we see the same promise being made repeatedly to believers throughout the scriptures, we can say that he did not only make that promise to Abram, he made it to us as well, that God will be our shield and our exceedingly great reward. I love how that's phrased, don't you? Not just our reward, which would be good enough, but he says our exceedingly great reward. Oh, in Jesus Christ, we have all that we need. So let's do it. Let's believe God's promise. Let's say, "Lord, when I read Genesis 15:1, and when I read it in light of everything you say in your scriptures, I understand that you didn't just promise to be Abraham's shield, you promised to be my shield." And then what do? By faith, you come behind God's shield. You draw just as close to God as you can, and you will be under the protection of his shield. "Lord, you promised to Abram that you would be his reward." Matter of fact, his exceedingly great reward. So how do you receive it? Put your hope, put your trust in God. And he says, "I will be your reward. I will provide all your needs according to my riches and glory." These are beautiful, precious promises for us to not only leave as ink on the page, but to believe with all of our heart. You know, somebody said once, "Well, what do you do with the promises of God?" And the person answered, "Well, I underline them in blue." Well, okay, that's great to do. You want to underline the promises of God with some particular color in your Bible? That's great. But do something even greater than that. believe them, understand them, and receive them in Jesus' name. Amen.